morning. This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 10, it says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas. We are located just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. We'd love for you to come and visit with us in any of our services. We want to welcome all of our listeners today, both those on WATA and also those on AM 690 WZAP, where you hear this radio broadcast on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. And we appreciate all of our listeners. It's good to have my son in the studio this morning, Noah. He's going to tell us about Vacation Bible School coming up next week at Mount Lebanon.
It's good to be here. Our Bible school is starting Sunday night, June 19th, through Friday, June 24th. Each evening, we're going to begin with the light supper at 6, and we're going to have assembly for classes at 6:30. And Preacher Wynn's dad, he's going to be teaching the adult class from 7 to 8. We're located just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, and for more information on that, you can call us at 828-963-4596.
I appreciate that. We'll give the contact information again at the end of the radio broadcast, but we would like to invite you out to Bible school. There's a lot of Bible schools going on. I'm going to be teaching the adult class, and we always have a real good number comes out. We can always accommodate a few more, but I'm going to be teaching on the subject of the threefold secret of the Holy Spirit. It's an old book written in the 1800s. By a man named James McConkie, and it's a life changer. I'm really excited about it. I'm looking for God to just give us a great week at Bible school. And I'll tell you, I am. I'm excited about it. And I'm excited about today. Today is Flag Day. And that I announced last week, today would be a special broadcast on the subject of the flag. So we're going to do that today. And it's Flag Day, as I've already said, at the Second Continental Congress at Philadelphia. The Marine Committee adopted this resolution, and it read like this. It said, "Resolved that the flag of the United States be 13 stripes, alternate, red and white, that the Union be 13 stars, white in a blue field, representing a new constellation." That happened on June 14th, 1777. And so today is Flag Day. It's the day we observe our flag. We give honor to our flag and what it means. And I welcome you today to the Blessings of Liberty. Now, the flag means a great thing to a great many things to a great many people. I could take all day today and talk about what the flag means to different groups of people. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to talk today about what the flag means to me. But I think it would be correct to say that the flag, what the flag means, could be summed up in the Pledge of Allegiance. Most everybody knows the Pledge of Allegiance. It says, "I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all." And so maybe you remember growing up in school and saying the Pledge of Allegiance. That would be ingrained in our minds, just a few things of what the flag means. And I grew up in a very patriotic family. I grew up under the knee of my grandfather Greer, who fought in World War II. He was in all of the major battles over there, received medals. I don't know the extent of what he did. You know, he talked about it a lot, and I remember all those stories, but most of them were funny stories, and it was very rare that he would talk about what we might call the sad side or the darker side of it. He did tell me about a funeral service in France and the chaplain being out there and all these young men had died, and they were having the services. You know, last week we talked about D-Day in Normandy. That was June 6th. And he talked about being over there, and he talked about what a sad thing it was, and how, as the chaplain spoke, that it just seemed like the Spirit of God came down through the he said the dogwood trees was blooming there, or the trees, apple trees, I can't remember what it was, but he just talked about how solemn it was and how serious it was. I served in the United States Air Force in the country of England. I remember being over there in a foreign country where also my grandfather had been and served during World War II. And being in that same country and them having at the end of the day where they would have the close of business at 5 o'clock and they would play taps. And if you were outside on Fridays, the A-10s would fly over. They would have, if you were outside and it began to play, you had to stop, turn towards the flag. And if you were in uniform, you had to salute. And I remember doing that with pride and emotion filling my heart because of what the flag stood for. So it means something to me today. It means something to many people. I hope it means something to you. Francis Scott Key, who many of you will recognize his name as the author of The Star-Spangled Banner. Mr. Key was a dedicated Bible-believing Christian. He was on a British prisoner exchange ship. He was trying to secure the release of a friend. He had went out there. His friend had been captured. His friend was a physician, and he was trying to get him exchanged and get him back, being he was a prisoner of war, or had been taken by the British as a prisoner of war. And he'd went out to that ship to try to secure his exchange. He went out there on September 13th, 1814, and on that night, he went out there, but they wouldn't let him come back because the British were getting ready to attack Fort McHenry there in Baltimore, Maryland. So he went out there. He probably went out there on the 12th. But anyway, he had to spend the night. And all night long, the British attacked Fort McHenry. And the next morning, Mr. Francis Scott Key, he was very anxious to see the outcome. Some different accounts you read says that he had a telescope and that he looked, and as the fog and the smoke gave way to the morning light, he could see the flag still flying over Fort McHenry, and he knew the British had failed in their attack, and it so inspired him that he took a pen, he took a piece of paper, and he began to write what would come to be known as our national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. And for most people know the first line to the Star-Spangled Banner. You hear the national anthem. Most people know enough about, if they don't hadn't learned it anywhere else, they've heard it at a sporting event. But most people recognize the first line of the national anthem, the Star-Spangled Banner. And I want to share a part of that story with you this morning. The first line goes like this. It says, "Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming." And I want to stop right there and say that in that first stanza, this is in the form of a question. If you look up the song in a hymn book, you'll find that there's a question mark right there. And then it goes on and it says, "And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave?" And that, again, is a question mark. Now, there are two stanzas that Mr. Francis Scott Key wrote. The first stanza asks two questions. When you hear the national anthem, you most often just hear that first stanza, but it's asking a question. I'd never noticed this before till I studied it out this time, and I've preached on this before at church, and I've mentioned and talked about the writing of the Star-Spangled Banner, but that first stanza He's asking two questions. Oh, say, can you see? Is it still there? Can you see it? That's what he's asking. Then he says, oh, say, does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave? Now, that's the first stanza, and it asks that serious question. We are going to play for you this morning that second stanza. Now, this, I want you to listen very carefully. This happened, I think, last year. Mr. Herman Cain was at, and he's one of the men that are running for president in 2012. And he was at a Tea Party rally, and they were talking about America and God in our history, and he was winding up. He was just about done, and he was going to take one more question. And this man, who I've learned since then, I cannot remember his name, but he's a Christian. He was a former Marine, and he stood up and he sings the second stanza to the Star Spangled Banner. And I want you to listen very closely to it this morning.
Lewis.
One question was raised about how we teach our young people. And I'm a former Marine, and I've became aware that there are two verses, and we need to hear the second verse, which says, oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation, blessed with victory and peace. May the heaven rescued land praise the power that has made and preserved us a nation. Then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto. In God is our trust, and the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave.
All right. I appreciate you playing that, Noah. If that doesn't give you goosebumps, your goosebump maker is broke. I enjoyed that thoroughly. You can find it on YouTube. That's where we found it. I seen it a lot last year, and I was reminded of it, and I get a great blessing out of that. You can find the Star Spangled Banner in most hymnals. I got out our hymnal at home this morning, Great Hymns of the Faith, red back book. It's on page 528. There are two stanzas. The first asks the question, is it still flying? Can you see it? Is it still over the land of the free and the home of the brave? And the second stanza answers those questions, and it says, oh, thus be it ever, when free men shall stand between their loved homes and the war's desolation, with an exclamation mark right there. He's saying, oh, let it be forever throughout our land. It talks about in that, blessed with victory and peace, may the heaven rescued land. God rescued our land. That's what Mr. Key was saying there. And it says, praise the power that hath made and preserved us a nation, another exclamation mark. He's saying we need to praise God who preserved us and made us a nation. And then it said, then conquer we must when our cause it is just, and this be our motto, in God is our trust, another exclamation mark. And that is our national motto that is found on our money, in God we trust. And then it says, and the star-spangled banner in triumph shall wave o'er the land of the free and the home of the brave. Another exclamation mark. So when we hear the national anthem and we just hear the first verse, we're just hearing part of the story. I am thankful today for all of the story. I'm thankful for the flag or the land of the free and the home of the brave. Now, as I've already said, Mr. Francis Scott Key was a dedicated Bible-believing Christian. And he said some years or some time after that about the writing of the Star-Spangled Banner. He said this. I found this in a history book. It said, "The patriot who feels himself in the service of God, who acknowledges him in all his ways, has the promise of almighty direction, and will find his word in his greatest darkness, a lantern to his feet and a lamp unto his paths. He will therefore seek to establish for his country in the eyes of the world such a character as shall make her not unworthy of the name of a Christian nation." Our forefathers believed that our nation was indeed a Christian nation. And he said the real patriot will do everything that he can under the direction of God for his country in the eyes of the world, such a character as shall make her not unworthy of the name of a Christian nation. You know, as I was reading about that and studying about that, I thought to myself, and I've started another book as well, by Patrick Henry, and if these old men could come back today and hear what is going on in our nation, I believe that they would not call our present president and maybe even our former president, I don't believe they would call them patriots. I believe they'd have another name for them. Patrick Henry was probably the first one that came out and publicly declared that King George was a tyrant and a traitor, and they cried out treason when he made that accusation. But a man's ways tells upon him. What a man says, what comes out of the depths of his heart. And I say that because Mr. Obama went over to the Muslim country of Turkey and all those other Arab nations that are Muslim nations, and they're not ashamed of it. They were gathered there, and he stood up in front of the whole world and said, "We're not a Christian nation." I tell you, that just gets under my skin, and I say, traitor, for somebody to go over to a foreign land and say something like that. Shame on him. He ought to resign. And I'll tell you, if Patrick Henry and Francis Scott Key and George Washington, if they could hear what was going on in our nation, they'd turn over in their graves. They believe that the nation of America was a Christian nation. But I want to take just a minute this morning in the time left and tell you what the flag means to me. When I see our flag, the stars and the stripes, I see a Christian flag. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 60 and verse number 4, it says, "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth, Selah." That word Selah there in the book of Psalms, it's actually a musical notation, and it means to rest. It is to pause and reflect. It is to stop and think about what has just been said. And God said, or in God's word, it says, "Thou hast given a banner." A banner is a flag. God's given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth. It is no accident that although the number of stars upon our American flag has changed as our nation has grown, you know, it started out with 13 stars, and then now we have 50 states. Well, down through the years, they added a star. Every time we added a state, they added a star on the following July the 4th. They would change it and raise it at our nation's capital. But back, I forget the exact date, but it would have been after 1960, they set the number of the stars at 50. And so that'll never change. Even if we get another state, such as Puerto Rico, or, you know, if we were to somehow come with another state, there'll always be 50 stars in the flag. 50 in the Bible is the number of freedom and liberty. in Leviticus chapter number 25, which I read that every Tuesday morning when we come on the Blessings of Liberty, proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That is describing the year of Jubilee. The year of Jubilee was to take place every 50 years. They were to proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof. That verse of Scripture is on the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The stars, for me, have a very special significance. It is no accident also that our first capital of our nation was not Washington, D.C., but it was Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. The name Philadelphia is a Bible name. It's found in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. It describes a church there, the church at Philadelphia, which was located in Asia Minor, which is where modern-day Turkey is now in that region of the world. But that church at Philadelphia in the Bible was the most soul-winning, evangelistic, unhindered church that we read about in the Bible. The church at Philadelphia, Jesus said this about that church in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 8. He said, "I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it." God said, "I'm giving you the opportunity to get the word of God out. I've opened a door. Nobody can shut it." Our first capital was in Philadelphia. The name Philadelphia means brotherly love. And let me say this about our nation. People are down in our nation. The president has went all around the world and apologized for our country to all these different leaders and set us in a bad light. But I will tell you, America has done a lot of good, and I'm thankful for our country. America has more churches than any other nation in the world. America has printed more Bibles, more Bible tracts, more New Testaments. They have more societies and mission boards and publishers that are just simply involved in printing the Word of God and getting it out into all the world. America has sent more missionaries in our short history than any other nation in the world. And that doesn't make us better than any other nation, but it makes us blessed more than any other nation in the world. God has blessed us. He has opened a door for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we see that on the flag there are 50 stars. 50 is the number of liberty. It's the number of freedom. And also those stars are representative of the soul winner going out and preaching the gospel. The Bible says in Daniel chapter number 12 and verse number 3, it says, "And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." So in the Bible, those who proclaim the gospel are represented by stars. 50, the number of freedom. Now, the stripes have a significant meaning as well. There are 13 stripes because there were 13 original colonies. The number of the stars was originally 13, but it has changed. But the number of the stripes has always remained the same. 13 in the Bible, the number 13 in Scripture, it is evil. You know, we hear 13, number 13's bad luck. Well, even in the Bible, the number 13 is evil. It's bad. It speaks of judgment. The number 13 speaks for judgment. But they're alternating stripes on the flag. 6 of them are white, the color of flesh, and the number 6 is the number of man. 7 of those stripes are red. Red is the color of blood, and 7 is the number of God. And the Bible says this in reference to the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." So the stripes on the flag are significant to me in their number, in their color. It reminds me of the stripes of the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this world. And what was he guilty of? The Bible says he went about doing good. He was like a lamb led to the slaughter. He had no sin. He had no transgression that he had ever done. But they took him, a man, God-man, who went around doing good, being a blessing, healing the sick, raising the dead, preaching to people, helping people, being a blessing. They took him and they put him on Calvary's cross, and there he died, not because they killed him, but he gave his life. The Bible says that that he gave his life. He yielded up the ghost. He said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And so he gave his life. He was striped. He suffered for you and I so that we could be saved. Now, a flag is placed upon a pole. And I thought about this as well. All the original poles would have been made out of wood. The Bible says that Jesus bare our sins in his own body on the tree. They would take a tree, or they would take a long limb out of a tree, and they would make a flag pole. And the flag is placed upon the pole. And we look up to the flag. And when you look upon the flag, now if we, and I've noticed for the past several days, and we came down through town this morning, and there are flags all over the street. Well, that's the way that it ought to be. It's Flag Day. It ought to be honored. It ought to mean something to us to be an American and to have such a great symbol of what our country stands for. But as I look upon that pole and I see that flag, if you look up at the flag, the very first thing that you're going to see that red stripe that goes across the bottom. Then you'll see a white stripe and a red and a white and a red. Right on up, there's 13 stripes. But in that upper left-hand corner, there is a field of blue with 50 stars upon it. And when I see that field of blue and the stars, the thing that you cannot help but think about is heaven. And we think about, and whether you realize it or not, you need to think about heaven. You need to think about where you're going to go when you die. If you and I ever expect to get to heaven, to see heaven, to go to the place where God lives, to go get out of this old sin-cursed world that all there is death and dying and heartache and pain and all of those things, if we ever intend to get to that place where God shall wipe away all of our tears, it will not be by our good efforts. It will not be by being a good person or doing good things for others or being baptized or going to church or joining the church or anything like that. It will be because we went through the blood of God's dear Son. That's the only way to get to heaven. So that red stripe is across the bottom and the field of blue is at the top, and the way to get to heaven to be with him is by and through his blood. And that's the only way. He shed his blood to wash our sins away. Jesus said in John chapter 14 in verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And so just a few things today that I wanted to share with you about what the flag means to me. Some people talk about the Christian flag, and I do enjoy and the symbolism and of the Christian flag. It is also red, white, and blue. It has a red cross instead of the stars. But to me, as long as there's an American flag, there'll be a Christian flag. And so in all the study we've done over the past few years about this subject and all the things that it means, more than ever to me, it means something great. And so I hope when you see, and here's another name for the flag, Old Glory. You know that word glory, what that really refers to? It refers to God in his heaven, in his glory. I could just praise him today for what it means to us. So our time is quickly coming gone today. I hope when you see the flag, I hope that it means something to you. I hope it means more to you today than it ever has before. We appreciate you listening in today. Noah's going to give the contact information. We'd love for you to come to Bible school and visit with us there. Noah, you take it away. Thank you.
Yes, sir. This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, the church phone number is 963-4596. That's 963-4596. Or you can reach us through the church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.